Hey everybody, this is John Maroon, President of Maroon PR. Thank you for once again tuning into Spin is a Four-Letter Word, the Maroon PR podcast. This year, we are calling our podcast The Brew, because you'll be hearing from all of our teammates about how they do their jobs, how they brew success for our clients. So hopefully you'll get some great takeaways that you can apply to your business. We appreciate you listening. And please give us a follow at Maroon PR and let us know what you think, if there's any topics that you want to hear about. Thanks, and here's The Brew.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of The Brew. I'm your host, Rocco DeSangro, and joining me on this episode is our president and founder, John Maroon. And John, this is a, not that all of our episodes aren't special ones, but this is one that it's very near and dear and close to your heart with, you know, you being a part of this for such a long time. Cal Ripken Jr., 2131 anniversary of when he broke the streak, became the Ironman, broke Lou Gehrig's streak of consecutive games played. People here, they love to talk about it all the time. And, you know, some of them were in the stands, but you were really like in the trenches, a part of this thing when it happened 30 years ago, and then for the 30-year anniversary. So you've been there through it all. You've watched it come to fruition. Just take me back down memory road, how this all began, you being a part of it there and seeing it all happen at Camden Yards again 30 years later, because I'm sure it's been a ride and a good one.
Yeah, thanks, Rocco. It's one of the great honors of my life and then my career is to have, you know, been able to work with Cal Ripken for as long as I have. But, you know, my first year in Maryland, we moved, Carolyn and I moved from Cleveland, where I was working for the then Indians, and moved to Maryland to take the head PR job with the Orioles. And that happened to be 1995. The 1994 World Series was canceled because of the work stoppage. And during that time, we left and took this job, and the strike ended. And, you know, the first time I met Cal was on a Southwest flight to Florida in 1995. And then we hit it off. We had a same philosophy with how to accommodate the media. And we worked really closely throughout all of 1995, culminating with September 6th. And then, you know, our relationship has stayed strong over the last three decades. So, yeah, it was a remarkable time. You know, I was 29 when I got the head PR job with the Orioles, and spent five seasons with the Orioles. Then I ultimately worked with Cal directly for about 6 years. And then, you know, now he's our client. So it's been a long run. It's been a lot of fun. 2131 was an amazing, amazing moment, not just Maryland, but nationally and internationally. And everyone has such memories of it. And I certainly do, too.
John, I'm sure 30 years later, the media, I guess, circus you want to call it, but in a good way, in a very good way, was much easier to navigate than it was 30 years ago. When you look back 30 years when Cal was playing, what was your guys' plan? Because it was, you know, from city to city, as he's getting ready to break this streak and do that, how did you guys navigate that 30 years ago when you were part of the PR team there?
Yeah, it's a good question, Rocco. In some ways, it was easier, and in some ways, it was very challenging. When I say it was easier, you know, back then there was no iPhones, there was no 24-hour news cycle, there's no social media. So really it was media relations. And the plus of that is that, you know, there's less distraction, less noise, and less stupid comments and criticisms. The downside is that there was only really one way to get your story out, and that was through, you know, media outlets. So, you know, what we realized very early on is that this was going to be a story throughout the year. And I was trying to think to myself, how do we manage this, all these media demands, as we travel, as the team is on the road? And I suggested to Cal, after talking to a couple of PR people with other teams, that maybe what we do is the first day in each city, we have him available to the media to talk about the streak. And the rest of the series, he'll talk if he does something in the game, but he's not going to talk about the streak. And that way it gives him a mental break from just talking about that. It was interesting. So I brought that concept to him, and at first he didn't like it. And he said, it seems presumptive. People, you're going to assume everyone wants to talk to me, and we're going to each city, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, look, our first road trip's to Minnesota. It's a smaller market. Let's try it there. And if it works, great. If you hate it, we won't do it again. He's like, okay. And he had some really specific ground rules, which were cool. He said, I don't want this to be distracting to my teammates. So we have to do this really early. So I think for a night game, the team would get to the ballpark at, like, say, 4. So he'd want to do it at like 2:30 in the afternoon. He also said, I don't want it to be formal. I'd like to do it in the dugout. Okay. And so I would have to travel around with a molt box. And for those of you who don't know what that is, that's a device that still exists where if you're having a microphone microphone. It allows the TV and radio people to plug into it so they get better sound quality and they clip a microphone on Cal. So I would travel around my little molt box, right? And then we'd give the rights holders in each city a one-on-one. That was the two one-on-ones he did, whoever their TV and radio partner was. So sure as heck, we walk into Minneapolis and it's packed. There were dozens of people there and we sat there and he did it and it worked. And then the next 2 days he had, and that was the model. So every time we went to a city, first day in, he saw the value. We did that and that really worked and we rolled that out. And then we did something similar with the local guys about once a month. And then we had 1 day a week where we'd do national and international media. So he would come to the ballpark super early. We'd meet in the auxiliary clubhouse at Oriole Park and I'd have a list of say six interviews and it could be, you know, Japanese TV or ESPN or CNN or you name it. And they'd come in one after the other and he'd knock it out and they'd go sign autographs and do his job. I don't know how he still managed to actually play baseball. He was great. As he describes it, he ultimately gave into the streak. Cal's a very analytical guy. Cal wants to think through everything and all that. And at some point he's just like, I can't fight this. It's big. Just tell me where to be and what to do. That went hand in hand with all the ceremony and the dropping the numbers and all that stuff too. So he was great to it. I think his mind relaxed once he realized this thing's bigger than him. Actually, even though it is him, and really rolled with it.
30 years later, John, Camden Yards. It's the ceremony, I thought from the fan perspective, being there was incredible and watching it happen. I was 2 years old when he broke the streak in 1995. I don't remember it happening, but you see all these highlights. But being there and seeing it in person 30 years later, the reenactment of it, the ceremonies, it seemed very, very cool. But I know a lot went into that on the public relations side. You specifically coordinating interviews, setting up Cal's schedule, traveling with him and doing what you do from a personal perspective as well. What all went into that? Because people see it happen, but they don't see necessarily what goes in behind the scenes and like the lead up to it as well.
Well, first of all, your buddy, Ryan Ripken, was 2 years old and doesn't remember it either. And he was there throwing out first pitches. So don't beat yourself up for not remembering it. But Ryan was involved this year and throughout the first pitch. And this one, I think he'll remember. So yes, I think the celebration was spectacular. I got to give big shout outs to the Orioles. They were wonderful. They worked so hard on this. And you know, they have all season going on and they had to put so much energy and there's some specific people that were really, really great throughout this. You know, Nick Jones, Mark Fine, Jennifer Grandal, Kerry Watson, to name a few, were so involved in this to make this so special and really go off without a hitch with the ceremony and making sure the Ripkins, their primary goal is we want to make sure the Ripken family has a great time, has a great experience, and our fans are there able to celebrate it in a really high way. They accomplished that and bringing back some of the Cal's old teammates, bringing back the exact same Corvette that he rode around the park in 95. I don't think everybody knows that was actually the exact same car, you know, and just all the things involved with it was very meaningful. And I think ultimately the fans really had a great time. The Orioles did some amazing content pieces with their fans that were fun. It was a whole lead up. And then, you know, similarly like in 95, but not nearly as intense, about a month out working with the Orioles and then just people knowing me, we had to coordinate a lot of media for Cal. And once again, like a mensch, he gave into it and we tortured him and he did a ton of interviews and I think he ultimately really enjoyed it.
It was awesome. Like you talked about the car, that same car, seeing it go around the stadium, the song playing in the background. After the game became official, having Rafael Palmeiro, yeah, Bobby Bonilla push him out of the dugout, Al Bumbry down the first baseline. It was so cool to see all that. Even the, you know, the 21-31 on the warehouse as well, John. So
I think most fans knew this too. I think it was probably the first time John Miller, the legendary radio broadcaster, was back since, you know, he parted ways with the Orioles. And it was definitely the first time Rafael Palmeiro was back. And, you know, he had some controversy around his career near the end with the steroids and whatnot. But like having them back was pretty cool. For me personally, like being able to spend some more time with Harold Baines and Mike Messina and Bobby Bonilla, so three of my favorite guys I ever worked with, and having them there and Brady Anderson, you know, that was really fun and meaningful. And then, you know, Ken Griffey Jr., Hall of Famer, was there. And Ken and his wife Melissa and Cal and Laura have become very close, and to have Ken there I think gave a lot of people a thrill, because you know, for me, if you ask me who's the greatest baseball player you've ever seen live, I would tell you Ken Griffey Jr. And I think a lot of people, I think Cal Ripken would tell you that, and I think a lot of people feel that way. And so having Ken there was pretty like an added kind of bonus too. But again, the Orioles, when you said earlier, Rocco, I don't think people understand all the work that the coordination that these guys had to put into it on the event side of thing and the details, it's really really unbelievable, and they did such a spectacular job, and they worked so hard, and I know the Ripkins are, and I am so grateful to them for all the energy they put into this.
From the PR perspective, John, like, things could have gone south quickly with the weather, with the near no-hitter that, you know, 8 2/3 innings, this guy Yamamoto's throwing a no-hitter, and he was just on. And then, I don't even know, like, I wasn't sure where you were at that point in time, but from a PR perspective, like, I can imagine any PR person associated with Cal, associated with the Orioles, is, like, ripping their hair out. Like, on this night, really? Like, this is going to happen, a no-hitter from the opposition. The Orioles are going to lose in terrible fashion right there. But then, Orioles magic happens in the bottom of the ninth. Jackson Holiday homers to break up the no-hitter. And then you get, I cannot believe they won that game, John.
Something about September 6th in the Orioles. September 6th, 1996, Eddie Murray hit his 500th career home run. So there's something about that. It's funny you mentioned the weather. You know, I've been around Cal long enough. It doesn't rain on Cal Ripken. It just doesn't. When something's really important to him, I know it sounds crazy, but yes, Billy Ripken, he'll tell you the same thing. It was like an 80% chance of rain the day of, and the Orioles were freaking out. In fact, we were thinking, do we have to move this to Sunday? There was a chance they were going to have to do that. And sure as heck, after a couple minutes of rain, it stops. Everything goes off without a hitch, and then that comeback. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And it's just, and it was perfect. It just made it so perfect, and people were so emotional and having such a great time. I mean, one thing too about Baltimore I think so cool is, and I guess there's this case with a lot of sport towns, but I think in Baltimore particularly, there's a love for their stars, and there's a love for their sports heroes. It's really, and then you double down with Cal because he's from here. He's a hometown kid who then became, you know, arguably the greatest player to ever put on their uniform, and somebody that the fans just love, and somebody that's always been there for the fans and in many ways. And it was just perfect. It was just wonderful. I was honored to be part of it 30 years later and still be somebody that Cal trusts with all this stuff in his life. It was exhausting again, but it was a lot of fun. I slept hard on Sunday, but it was a lot of fun, and I was grateful to be a part of it.
It's great to hear that you actually slept after that. John, 10 years from now, okay, 40th anniversary, probably going to be here before all of us know it. Do you have any plans for that? Like, is it going to be bigger than 30? Like, what are the plans going forward? Do you even know? And am I asking dumb questions here? Like, no, what's the deal?
First of all, I want to be alive. That's like goal number one, Rock. I'd like to be a breathing. Cal and I joked about that because I said to him when we were dragging him through the mud and all that, and they asked him to do all these sorts of things and all these interviews. I said, come on, man, you only turned 30 once. And said, well, you know, hey, in 10 years, 40 years. And he goes, we're both going to be way too tired to do any of this stuff. So I'm guessing at the 40th anniversary, maybe we'll just, you know, have a martini or something. No, but I'm sure, look, if God willing, if we're all healthy and alive and around, that I'm sure the Orioles will do another amazing thing and fans will come out of the woodwork, because it is, Cal says it's not unbreakable because he did it. I think the rest of us think it certainly is. And unbreakable or not, I think it's just an astounding record. And the cool thing about this record is I think it resonates with people because it's about showing up. It's not about scoring this many points or hitting in this many games in a row or any of that. That seems like unbelievable. It's just about somebody that loves something so much and wants to be there for his teammates and just shows up. And you know what Cal has heard over the years, like, I'm a teacher and never missed a day in 30 years. I'm a student that does this. You know, I'm a firefighter who's gone to work every day for the last 25 years. And so you hear these stories, and I think it really is such a relatable sort of thing. And it's perfect for Baltimore. You know, it's like perfect hard work sort of Baltimore thing. So I think this record will always be there because people forget sometimes that there's 21-31 was the record. He played in 501 more games after that. So it's 26-32. I know there's a kid on the Braves that's in the 700 game mark right now. So that's great. And I love that Cal in his speech said he'd love to see it broken. He'd love to be there because I think a lot of people with what are thought to be unbreakable records don't want to see them broken. I don't think he's like that. So anyway, it was wonderful. I'm honored. And I think it went really, really well. And hats off to everyone involved because it was a ton of work.
Awesome, John. No, it was fantastic to watch from, again, from the fan perspective. And, you know, to see everything like come to fruition and happen the way it did. Is there anything that I didn't touch on that you'd like to add before we get out of here?
Yeah, I met Caitlin Clark. That was cool.
That's awesome.
Caitlin Clark and Lexi Hall, her teammate, were in town. Just coincidentally, they were in town because they were playing at CFG Arena the next day, and they called the Orioles, not even thinking about 21-31, just can they come to the game? And then once we found out, Cal and Laura wanted them up in the suite, and they came up, and they were lovely, and they got to meet him. So I thought that was pretty cool. Big deal. And
she was wearing a nose hat, too.
She was wearing a nose hat. Yes. I love that. Yeah, yep. Sporting it. Yeah, they all had their O's gears on. I think her significant other, Connor, was wearing a jersey and all that good stuff. But so that was cool. cool little side note, but no, you didn't miss anything. Amazing, amazing, amazing on every sense of the word, and true testament to the love that the fans feel for him and for the deep ties that they feel to this organization.
Absolutely, John. No, thank you. And it's great learning more about what you do and learning more about your connection with Cal as well every day. So just fantastic to hear. But that's going to wrap it up for this episode of The Brew. For John Maroon, I'm Rocco DeSangro. And if you want to grab a beer with us, reach out through our website, maroonpr.com, or connect with us on LinkedIn. Thanks so much for listening and have a great day.
Hey, it's John Maroon again. Thank you for listening to Spin is a Four-Letter Word. And just a reminder, if you can, follow us on all the major social media platforms, at Maroon PR. If you have an idea or suggestion, let us know what you think, and we'll see you soon.